Information, please. The rest of the great American public that is doing its best to upset our mental giant. Here's how to get into this question and answer game. Send us questions and the correct answers, if acceptable time, during each broadcast. Any question accepted will win $2 for the person who submits it. Any question the experts cannot answer will win an extra $5. The contest will be refereed by our master of ceremonies, Mr. Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Clifton Fadiman.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Our quartet is here, bright and early. Well, early anyway. And now I'll call the roll. Mr. Franklin P. Adams, columnist of the New York Post, do you swear to tell us all you know and nothing that you don't know?
I sure do.
John Curran, sports writer of the New York Times, do you guarantee not to tell us all you know?
If possible.
Marcus Duffield, day news editor of the New York Herald Tribune, do you promise to be our court of first and last resort on all questions and current events, foreign affairs, etc.?
I hope.
Well, folks, that's three experts in the bag. And the fourth, our guest of honor this evening, is Oscar Levant, well-known composer, creator of the score of many successful motion pictures, including The Awful Truth and Nothing Sacred, and finally, holder of a subterranean reputation as a Broadway and Hollywood wit. Just relax, Mr. Levant.
There.
Feeling all right now?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Now, folks, remember that this quartet has not seen these questions in advance. This is an informal, spontaneous, unrehearsed program. Questions will be addressed to the entire board. Any member who wishes to may raise his hand and take a whack at the question. It must be answered by one member, except where it's composed of more than two parts, in which case the board may cooperate. But if any part is answered incorrectly, $5 is forfeited. When you hear that cash register sound, that means $5 is actually being paid out to the lucky question. Now, in just another moment, that's just Mr. Adams filing a wisecrack for future use. All set, brain crunch? Very well. Let's go. The first question is a musical one. It comes from Mrs. F.C. Walsh, 31096 38th Street, Long Island City. What performers helped to make the following songs famous? I have six of them, and you have to list four out of five. I'm going to read the title of the song, and we'll have a few bars played from. The first is I Don't Care.
Eva Tang.
That's quite correct. Number two, Shine On, Harvest Moon. That's very pretty, too. Mr. Levant.
Nora Bays and Jack Norwood.
Good. Very good. Doing very well, Mr. Levant. Three, Silent Night. Mr. Duffy.
Juman Heinz.
That's correct. How did you get in on this musical stuff?
Amazing. It surprises me as much as it does you.
There you go. Four, Roll Them Roly Boly Eyes. Mr. Levant.
Eddie Leonard.
Pretty good. Five, But Definitely. Yeah, I think we got them there.
Shirley Temple.
Good, Mr. Levant. That's correct. And one more, When My Baby Smiles at Me.
Ted Lewis.
Ted Lewis for Mr. Levant, that's quite correct. Sure, it brings us back to the old days, doesn't it, Mr. Levant?
Not very old.
You don't think so? You don't feel yourself getting sentimental?
Shirley Temple.
We have no time for sentiment this evening. Let's rush on to question number two, which comes from Mr. Harold Lampell, 315 East Susquehanna Street, Allentown, PH. Question. Explain the following slang terms used generally by baseball players. There are four of them. One is dunker, strawberry, jockey, rock. I have the unenviable distinction of not knowing the meaning of a single one of them. Mr. Kieran, I knew you'd be right there on the dock. Dunker.
I have to use gestures. A dunker is a top ball hit by a batter that goes over the infield and suddenly dunks itself into the grass in the outfield. It's another name for a Texas leaguer.
Ladies and gentlemen, the radio audience, he's been using gestures all along. I'm sorry that I can't transcribe them over the radio for you. The next is Strawberry.
Why, Strawberry is a nice red mark gained by a player in hurling himself along the ground to reach a base.
Bruised from sliding, it says on my... That's correct. Jockey.
A jockey is a wisecracker in a baseball uniform, speaking from the bench.
That's correct. And finally, rock.
A rock is another name for a serious error, such as I have often made here.
You remember you did make a serious error last week. We have 724 letters coming to us from all parts of the known and habitable globe, Mr. Kieran, about the error you made in connection with Johnny Allen.
That was a rock of the purest granite.
Serene.
You remember that the game in which Johnny Allen played was played in what town and not what other town? Was played in?
Was played in Boston.
And you said?
I was exhibited naked to the blushes of eternity.
Highly fallible, folks. Highly fallible, as Mr. Kieran. Now, Mr. Kieran, all I want to know from you is the Latin name of a Nicaraguan screech owl with a yellow tail feather. He doesn't know, folks. He doesn't know. We'll go on to the next question. From Harold B. Dent, 319 Hamilton Avenue, Paterson, New Jersey. Name three sets of fathers and sons who have held high positions in the United States government. Three sets of fathers and sons who have held high positions in the United States government. Volunteers on that.
Let's start with John Quincy Adams and then think a while.
Yes?
His father was Samuel Adams.
No, that I'm afraid is wrong. The father of John Quincy Adams was John Adams.
So he was.
So he was. Hold that register for a while. How about another set? That's wrong so far. Monsieur.
Well, could you count the two Roosevelts, two Teddy Roosevelts in it? One was President of the United States, the other was Governor General of Puerto Rico and the Philippine Islands.
That's correct. And one more.
How about the Clark boys?
The Clark boys, very good. Can you name them, Mr. Levent?
They were both champs, weren't they?
One was champ and one is Bennett champ. Well, we got two out of three, but I'm afraid that little error is going to cost us $5, Mr. Duffield. Now, there are a couple of others you might have mentioned. The La Follettes, of course, the Morgenthauers, the Wallaces, and their whole crowd of Harrisons scattered through our history.
Who,
Mr. Levant?
The Bagbys.
The Bagbys? Who are the Bagbys? I think you made it up.
No.
Baseball pitchers.
Oh, they occupy
a lot of
the United States government.
Certainly.
We'll put that in the next question. For Mr. John C. Kingston, 3809 Hamilton Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, comes this very simple question. According to Omar Khayyam, what four things would be sufficient to transform the wilderness into a paradise? Now, you have to get all four of them. Mr. Adams. Can't think of four. Mr. Church.
Book of verses.
That's
one. Jug of wine,
that's
a loaf
two,
of bread,
three.
And not you, thou.
Thou. Retrieved your reputation, Mr. Kieran, very nicely indeed. Now, here's another one on a musical subject from Mr. Harold S. Oikle, 39 Goldquake Street, Lynn, Massachusetts. Name a famous piece of symphonic music that was written on five of the following six subjects. Now, we have to get five out of the following six. First subject, a graveyard frolic. Can you think of a famous piece of symphonic music written about a graveyard frolic? We get on to a jollier subject of later on. Mr. Levant, any ideas on that? That is a tough one.
I'm dead.
Mr. Levant can't see through that one. I can hardly pronounce the name of the man who wrote this thing called Danse Macabre.
Oh.
Saint-Saëns? Something like Saint-Saëns. Two. Well, we got one wrong. Who wrote a famous piece of symphonic music on Napoleon?
Beethoven.
What was the name of the piece?
The Eroica Symphony.
That's correct, Mr. Levant. A Day in the Country, Mr. Levant. Got any ideas on that one?
Beethoven.
What's the name of the
piece? Pastoral Symphony.
That's correct. For a picture gallery.
This
is still Mr. Levant, doing very nicely.
I was wrong twice in my mind. Wait a minute.
It doesn't sound like you're wrong in your mind, as long as you don't say it.
What's that, a day in the picture gallery?
Just a picture gallery. It doesn't say how long.
Day in the country. I like that. Yeah, picture gallery.
Want to come back to that?
Yeah, I have it someplace.
Oh, he's got it someplace. A railroad train, Mr. Levant.
Honegger. Pacific, some number. I forgot the number.
Well, you don't have to give us a number. 231.
Thank you.
Adds up to 6. Very easy to remember. A great lover.
John Jewin.
By Richard Strauss, that's correct. And now how about that picture gallery? Come on, let's have that picture gallery, Mr. Levant. Anybody else? Miss Adams? Mr. Kerr, you say you don't know who wrote?
Mussorgsky.
Right. That's correct.
Pictures in an exhibition.
That's correct. Completely unrehearsed, folks. Completely unrehearsed. You just got by in the skinny teeth, Mr. Levant. Pretty good, though. The next one is from Lewis Martin, 1731 California Street, San Francisco, California. Explain 4 of the following political phrases. There are 5 altogether. First, dark horse. Mr. Duffy, let's have that.
Dark horse is a candidate that nobody thinks will win, and suddenly he turns out to win.
That's correct. Kitchen cabinet.
Kitchen cabinet of the confidential advisors of the president.
Correct. Log rolling.
Log rolling, you, Pat, you vote for my bill, and I'll vote for your bill.
More or less that, yes. Pork barrel.
That's getting post offices for the hometown.
That's it in a most very specific way, yeah. Would you say legislative appropriation of money for projects of questionable value, which is a definition I just made up? And 5, fat cats.
Fat cats?
Yeah, that's a tough one, fat cats.
Sounds like baseball. Go ahead, Mr. Kieran.
Mr. Kieran, there's no fat cats. Well, you know about natural history. It's not as your deal.
Hey, I think a fat cat is probably an angel.
It is an angel.
Politician.
Well, what does he do? What does his angel do?
A heavy contributor to the campaign.
That's correct. Got 5 out of 5, Mr. Duffy. Boys are coming through very well tonight. I'm very proud of them. Next one from Mr. W.K. Payne, Meadowbridge, Washington, Connecticut. According to Shakespeare, identified as Mr. Adams' favorite author, according to Shakespeare, men were deceivers ever. Recollect that, Mr. Adams? Men were deceivers ever. From other sources, quote, 2 more literary selections, uncomplimentary to man. 2 more literary selections or quotations, uncomplimentary to man.
Man the unknown?
Man the lifeboat.
Come. Trouble is, folks, that I'm about 18 feet away from Mr. Adams, and I can exercise nothing but moral suasion.
Man was made to mourn.
Yes, but do you think that's uncomplimentary? No?
Very.
You think that's very uncomplimentary?
Yeah.
What's the source of it?
Robert Burns.
I don't know. It may be correct. I don't know. I'll accept that unless I get something better. Let's have another one. Another literary selection. Uncomplimentary to man. Do you mean to say none of you know about poetry that's uncomplimentary to man?
We wouldn't.
How would we know that?
We got women last week, didn't we?
Yes, and you can't have the same sex every week.
How about man is the dog's best friend?
Mr. Levan. Mr. Levan, I'm sorry. Can't accept that. It's going to make you stick to music. One more. One more. If not, I'll have to supply.
Just one more.
Yes, sure, Mr. Kieran. Just one more. Mr. Adams.
A man was the cause of it all.
Now, folks, what would you do if you were in my place?
That's right. That's the end of a song.
By whom?
Begins, she was more to be pitied than censured.
That's correct. I suppose it is uncomplimentary. Well, we just about...
For 40 cents,
by.
I'd sing it.
40 cents? Anybody here got 40 cents? No, nobody has 40 cents. I have some very good quotations, which I'm now going to read. How about rats and snails and puppy dog tails? That's what the boys are made of. Isn't that a good one? Mr. Adams doesn't like that. The more I see of men, the better I like dogs. That's what you were thinking of, Mr. Levant.
I like mine better.
You like this better. stands in humanity to man make countless millions or thousands or ten thousands more. That's from whom, Mr. Jerry?
Fine.
Yes. Well, now remember...
From man was made to mourn.
He sticks the man away. Adam knows one quotation and he sticks to it. The next quotation, the next question from Mr. Harry Schneiderman, 7254 Summers Road, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Very heavy mail from Pennsylvania this week. Question. Can you explain what five of the following are? Now, I think there are 6 words. Here are the words. I'll read them very rapidly. Piffle, whiffle, sniffle, yaffle, snaffle, ripple.
Tiger.
What's the same for Adam?
And a tiger.
Yes, and a tiger. Now, we'll start from the beginning. We'll go very slowly. Piffle. What piffle? Monsieur.
Persiflage. Kidding around with words.
What was that first word?
Persiflage.
Persiflage. How much did you pay for that one, Monsieur? That's correct for piffle. Whiffle. W-H-I-F-L-E.
Whiffle is the front part of a whiffle tree.
Oh, no. No, well, Mr. Sharon, I'm instructed by the boss.
Whiffle's what you have with maple syrup.
That was Mr. Adams. I'm sorry.
Now, what's the next one? How about skipping that?
No, we have to get whiffle.
Whiffle. Whiffle while you work or something?
Getting worse and worse. I think I will go on to the next one. A whiffle, as a matter of fact, is a small flute or fife, or it is a puff of breath, or it means to vacillate. And, of course, it is the first part of the word whiffle tree, but it is not a complete word in itself. Not from that point of view. The next one is sniffle. What's a sniffle? That was a sound effect, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it's here.
Well, it's a sharp intaking of the breath through the nasal passages.
Yes, that's right.
That's perfect stuff, though. And a yaffle.
A yaffle?
Yeah, a yaffle. You know what a yaffle is.
Yaffle says there's an English bird that has a name like a yaffle, but...
Well, don't be so aggressive about it. That's perfectly correct. Snaffle.
Oh, a snaffle?
Let's hear it again.
A snaffle is part of the head harness of a noble animal called the horse.
Good. And finally, ripple.
Ripple. Well, there are several definitions for that word. You can ripple a deck of cards, or there are ripples on small streams, drops.
That's ripples.
Well, there are also ripples. And
don't you like that, Mr. Adams?
No.
Mr. Adams doesn't like it. Adam's in a very bad mood this evening. Any one of those definitions for ripple is correct, and that gives us 5 out of 6. So that's correct. Now the total penalties are only $5. Not getting the boys down this evening at all. They're too bright. Far, far too bright. Let's go. This one comes from Mr. William Reynolds of Chicago, Illinois. Who are the girls and boys referred to in the following song? There are 5 songs altogether. 1. If she walks like a sly little rogue, if she talks with a cute little brogue, sweet personality, full of rascality, who is it? Who is it, boys? Who is it?
That's tough. I don't know.
Mr. Levant, but you like the poetry, don't you, Mr. Levant?
No, that's...
Doesn't even like the poetry.
That's corn.
Don't like it. Corny.
Yeah.
See if we can get the right answer all the same. Corny. I'm just musical criticism. You're not here to give us musical criticism, Mr. Levant. Mr. Sharon. Who is this person who walks like a sly little rogue, talks with a cute little brogue?
Never met the lady.
Don't know. It's Adam.
My mother.
I admire your mother, Adam, but I will not accept that answer. Why, gentlemen, that's Peggy O'Neill. 1 wrong. 2. She's my sweetheart, I'm her beau. Miss Kieran.
Annie
Rooney, and who's the beau?
Joe, whatever.
Yeah,
his name is.
Sure, not
that's
you,
the
Joe.
Name Joe.
That's correct. 3. I don't mind telling you, I took my girl to Q, and I'll repeat that. I don't mind telling you, I took my girl to Q. How does it go on? It's a tough one. Why, even Mr. Duffield doesn't know that. Back to the current event. And Emma was the darling creature's name. Oh, Emma. Any of you remember that now?
Whoa.
Whoa. You're wrong. Four. She's the only girl that I adore. Let's hear it.
Katie.
Yes, say it right.
Katie.
That's very good. They swore to be true to each other, true as the stars above. Mr. Duffy.
First one I've known, Frankie and John.
That's right. But unfortunately, that's going to cost us $5 going to Mr. Reynolds in Chicago, Illinois. Next, from Anna Paul of Miami, Florida, the following are famous remarks by famous men. Now, I think you ought to get all of these, boys. These are very well-known remarks by very well-known men. All I want you to do is name the man. One, let's look at the record. Volunteer. Mr. Levant.
Al Smith.
Correct. All I know is what I see in the paper. Mr. Duffy.
Will Rogers.
I'll be back in a flash with a flash. Mr. Levant.
Winchell.
Very good. I do not choose to run. Mr. Kieran.
Mr. Coolidge.
There's a sucker born every minute. Mr. Kieran.
Mr. Phineas T. Barnum.
Correct. Walk softly and carry a big stick. Mr. Duffy.
Theodore Roosevelt.
That's correct. Let us return to normalcy. Mr. Adams.
W.G. Harding.
Very good. I am going through on this line if it takes all summer.
You.
The next. This is a funny question from Mr. M.M. Weed, 1180 West 28th Street, Los Angeles, California. What imaginary characters, or folklore characters, used the following means of locomotion? Now, we figure you ought to get all of these. One, a pea-green boat. Mr. Kieran.
The owl and the pussycat.
Yes, that's old natural history Kieran again. Two, a raft. What imaginary characters in fiction, used a raft. Mr. Duffield.
Charon crossing the River Styx.
Yes, I think he did. Huckleberry Finn, I think might be a better answer.
Real.
Revolution.
Yes, French Revolution is correct, Mr. Levant. Just keep going, keep going. Make those associations. What book?
Tale of Two Cities.
Tale of Two Cities, correct. Sidney Carton. Five, a flying carpet.
Oh, Arabian Nights.
Yes, what character?
Douglas Fairbanks.
Douglas Fairbanks. I guess it's all in the folklore character. Six, a chariot.
Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur, Mr. Levant coming to the fore again. And seven, a canoe.
I want it.
They both knew that. Mr. Chair, Mr. Levant, I'm taking each other's hand. First expression of friendliness I've ever seen this evening. Next is for Mrs. Mary Stern of Denver, Colorado. Oh, I think this is up your alley, Mr. Adams. Sorry. Complete the following famous limerick. At duty, Mr. Adams. I just put in the Mr. Adams. At duty, I am not a star. There are people more handsome by far. My face, I don't mind it. You see, I'm behind it. It's the people in front.
That I jar.
That's correct.
Incidentally, that was supposed to be Wilson's favorite memory.
Yes, and was it?
It was, and it's no good.
Put that down, folks. Mr. Adams says it's no good. Next question is from Brendan Noble, 586 Delaware, Buffalo, New York. Name a famous character in fiction who has become identified with each of the following traits. There are five traits altogether. One, a canting hypocrite. Who is a canting hypocrite, famous character in fiction?
Uriah
Heep.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Adams helping each other out. That would be correct. Pecksniff or Tartuffe would also be acceptable, would they not, Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Two, a miser.
Uriah Heep.
No, I don't think Uriah Heep would get by as a miser.
Silas Marner.
Silas Marner is correct, yes. Paul the Miser in Molière's famous play of that name. Three, the ever-hopeful down and outer. Now, don't answer all at once. The ever-hopeful down and outer. Mr. Fear.
Mr. Micawber.
Mr. Micawber is correct. Four, the charlatan. A charlatan.
Scott Penn.
Who?
Well, Scott Penn, one of the characters in Molière's Les Fourberies, Mr. Scott Penn.
Pretty good. You're only using two languages this evening. Yes, I think that would be very good. Very good answer. Another one would be Get Rich Quick Wallingford, perhaps. Or O. Henry's a Gentle Grafter. Mr. Adams, you knew that one, didn't you?
No. Nope.
Henry's a Gentle Grafter. And the last...
All my time.
Last, the Scheming Woman. Or a Scheming Woman. Mr. Adams.
Becky Sharp.
Becky Sharp is correct.
One of many.
That was pretty bitter, Mr. Adams. I hope nobody heard you. The next is from Miss Molly Wiener, 200 East 79th Street, New York City. Name the composers of three of the following hot numbers. And there are four altogether. Firebird.
Stravinsky.
That was Mr. Levant. We'll stick to you, Mr. Levant, for a while. Firefly.
Rimmel. Rudolph Rimmel.
Correct. Fire Music.
Wagner.
Correct. And Fire Dance.
Fire Dance.
You're all right. Three out of four. You've got you. You're okay.
Velvet. Defier.
Defier is correct. Just off the record, Mr. Levant, did Debussy write something called Fireworks, Feu d'Artifice?
For the piano.
For the piano.
Yes.
I knew that. That's the only one I knew. Penalty so far, only $10. They're doing too well this evening. $10. $10 lost. The next one from Miss Maria Russo, St. Paul, Minnesota. Which does not belong with the others of this group? Silver Finn, Silver King, Silver Sprig, Silver Sides, Silver Gar. I'm awfully tired of saying silver. Now, which of the following, which doesn't belong in that group?
Say it over again.
All right. Which does not belong with the others of this group? Silver Finn, Silver King, Silver Sprig, Silver Sides, Silver Gar. Gar's G-A-R. Mr. Adams.
Silver King.
What is the Silver King?
It's a golf ball.
Goodness gracious me. I've never been up anything like that before. No, nope. Won't accept it. Won't accept it.
It is a golf ball, though.
Now, don't you stick with him, Mr. Duffield. If you boys are going to play together. Mr. Kieran, don't you know that? Well, the correct answer...
One of them ain't a fish.
I beg your pardon?
One of them is not a fish.
Well, that is correct. One of them is not a fish, Mr. Adams. I'm going to give you a special entree now. Which of them is not a fish?
Silver King.
Well, that is absolutely wrong. The answer is Silver Sprig. A Silver Sprig is a common rabbit with a silver-colored pelt, and all the rest are kinds of fish. In fact, Mr. Adams, it may be said that you missed that one by a hair. They didn't like that, folks. Now, the total penalties, and I'm afraid that's all we have time for this evening, run to $15. Thank you all members of the board and all the folks that have submitted questions. So now, Mr. Cross has a word for you about next week's contest. Good night, everybody, and come again.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. We meet again next week at 8:30 for another quiz contest between the public and the experts. The board of experts for next week will include Franklin P. Adams, John Kieran, Bernard Jaffe, and our guest will be Quincy Howe, publicist, editor, and author of England Expects Every American to Do His Duty.